Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while,
we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, here's the theory. I'm going to try to walk up to a young person and simply ask them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how convinced are they of their religious beliefs or lack of religious beliefs? Let's see what they say. And then, even if they say it's a 1, I don't care. I'm going to ask them to impose their beliefs on me. I want them to convert me. And I suspect what we will hear, as we've heard in the past, well, I don't want to impose my beliefs on you. And I will ask them, and I will plead with them, please, no. I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to beat me up or to put me on a rack and confess whatever it is that you believe. I am asking you to share with me what you believe. And I wonder if it will be an awkward moment, because people have bowed to the whole idea that you cannot impose your beliefs on somebody else, because that's mean. And it also happens to be just a great big out, doesn't it? I mean, really. How many evangelism programs these days talk about, we don't want to impose our beliefs on people. We don't want to hit people over the head with the Bible. What else is that except, I think, a devil's scheme to keep people from actually proclaiming the gospel? Because, frankly, we'd like excuses, wouldn't we? All right, there's a young man walking this way intently. Young man, how far are you walking, may I ask?
It may take me 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Can I talk to you on the radio while you're walking? You don't need to slow down or anything.
Sure.
Here's what I want to ask you, young man. What's your first name, by the way?
Fidel. What's this thing going on?
It's called Wretched Radio. Matches the t-shirt here. See the shirt?
Uh-huh.
All right. Here's what I wanted to ask you. On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. 1 being not at all, 10 being very, very convinced, how convinced are you of your religious beliefs or lack of religious beliefs?
I don't care, actually.
That would be a 1.
Yes.
Is that right?
Maybe. I don't know. It's like...
You're a Georgia Tech guy. You're a numbers guy, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, I am. Okay, the way I would put this is I believe in more morality, religion, if you would call it that way.
All right. How convinced are you of whatever that is that you believe? On a scale of 1 to 10... I don't really believe it at all. No, I'm really sold out. I really believe what I believe.
Probably 5.
5? Okay, so tell me, do you have a particular religious belief?
Yes, I'm Hindu.
Oh, you're Hindu. Fab. That's interesting. So tell me, as a Hindu, what do you believe about God in the afterlife?
Well, like I told you, I don't particularly go by what Hindu teachings say. It's like God is some amorphous entity out there who looks after you. That's pretty much it.
Some amorphous entity. So it's, does your God dwell any place? Is he in a certain location?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's why I called it amorphous.
Ah, is that what that means?
That's why I called it that way.
Ah. So amorphous means every place?
Well, I didn't wanna...
Okay, here's what I'd like to ask you to do. All right? Let's see if you're willing to do this. If I asked you, I'd like to believe exactly what you believe, would you please give me a reason to do that? Would you try to convert me to Hinduism?
Okay, whatever I just told you about isn't necessarily Hinduism.
Whatever it is you believe. I like you. You're a nice guy. I want to believe what you believe. Convert me.
Well, I wouldn't try to convert you. I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe. Let's all be happy.
I know, but I think I'd be happier believing what you believe. So go ahead. I'm asking you, please convert me. And then maybe I'll be able to walk as fast as you. What are you? Are you on the speed walking team?
Oh, I'm walking too fast for you. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so convert me. I'm asking you, please.
I'll start with, what do you believe in?
Well, I'm a Christian.
What kind?
A biblical Christian.
So what do you believe in?
Well, I believe that there is a God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Bible and my conscience tells me that I've broken God's laws. I'm a sinner. I'm a bad person. I'm not born good. I'm born bad. And I've broken God's laws, like I'm guessing you have, like lying,
mm-hmm.
Stealing.
No, but yeah.
Lusting.
Okay.
Okay. I presume you've done that before, correct?
Yeah, so?
Okay, well, that's what makes us sinners.
Okay.
So I believe that God is angry at sin, and he's angry at sinners for breaking his laws, because he's created us, he's made us, he's given us everything that we've ever enjoyed, including air, which mm-hmm. I could use more of right now. And because of that, he must judge us. And if he judged me, I know for a fact that I would deserve hell. I would deserve to be sent to a very bad place because I've broken his laws. But he's also good, and he's kind, and he desires to save people. But in order to do that and still be just, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be punished on my behalf. He mm-hmm. took the punishment I deserve by being beaten and hit and spat upon, and then hung on a cross, taking the wrath of God on my behalf. A good man dying for me, a bad man. Mm-hmm. And that good news caused me to repent, which means to say you're sorry and turn from your sins and to put your trust in Jesus. And because of that, I believe that he's forgiven me and granted me everlasting life because of what Jesus did. That's what I believe.
Then I would ask you, do you really believe in this complicated thingy that if he's such a powerful person, why would he actually... I mean, does it make sense to give someone else the punishment that you deserve?
Well, does it make sense? Whether it makes sense or not, what I know is that it certainly is good, and it certainly is kind, and it isn't something I deserve, so I would say it's very loving.
Well, that's good. Actually,
gotta go. See ya.
See ya.
Goodbye. Frankly, I don't care that he didn't try to convert me. And thanks for asking, young man. All right, I'm exhausted. Hey, young man, where are you walking right now?
DC.
Could I walk with you and talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name, young man?
David.
David, how do you do? Where are you from?
I am from Lawrenceville.
Oh, you're right down the street here.
Yeah, I am.
And you're so you lived here your whole life, is that right?
I have, yes.
You don't have much of an accent.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
If you ask someone from like Canada or something, I do though.
Is that right?
I traveled to Toronto and they said they knew I was, as soon as I spoke, that I was from Georgia.
Huh. I don't hear it.
Yeah.
And I'm from Minnesota, and that's pretty close to Canada.
Yeah, it is pretty close.
See, here's what I've learned about living in Georgia is that when I hear somebody with an accent, it's strange. Because most people that are even from Atlanta don't have an accent.
Yeah. I think it's international, you know.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that feeling. Okay, so David, here's what I'm asking people today. On a scale of 1 to 10, how convinced, 1 very, very low, okay, 10 very high, how convinced are you of your religious beliefs or lack of religious beliefs?
I don't know. I'd say at least over... Wait, 1 was...
1 is not so much. 10 is, I'm very convinced. I'm a sold out whatever you are.
Okay. I would say probably 8. Yeah, 7.5.
That's pretty strong.
Okay.
That's like a C or a B minus even, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what are you, David?
Methodist.
A Methodist. Okay, here's what I'd like you to do in the remaining moments that we have before you get to work. I want you to convince me to be what you are. I looked at you. You seem like a nice fellow. I want what you have. I'm asking you to convert me to Methodism. Can you do that?
Probably not. I think everyone's going to believe what they're going to believe, and that's one thing that I don't think it's my right to force it on anybody else.
Not asking you to force it. I'm asking you. So don't force it on me. Just compel me. Give me a reason or convince me.
I honestly don't know. I try to live my life, you know, be a good person, be a good person to others, and I think a lot of that has to do with me being a Methodist and the beliefs I have, so hopefully my actions would speak louder than my words. So I would say, if anything, if you hung around with me long enough, that, you know, I would want you to become that way and not have to convince you.
What would be in it for me?
I don't know, Jesus in your heart, you know, believing in something and having faith in something, I think is just a good thing to have.
And if it's said, comforting. David, if I said to you, I've got belief in Hare Krishna.
Okay.
He's in my heart.
Okay.
I feel pretty good about that.
Okay.
Would you give me any other reason to convince me to become a Methodist?
Probably not. Like I said, I'm not going to force it on anybody. I think that, you know what, in some way, maybe we're all believing in the same thing. It's just a different way of putting it.
All right.
Know, so.
All right, dude. Hey, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
See ya. Goodbye. So typical, isn't it? And did you hear the battle cry? Hey, I'm not gonna force myself on anybody. I'm not gonna make anybody. I'm not asking you to make me. I'm asking you, please give me a reason. Tell me why. You almost have to beg somebody these days. The devil loves this whole tolerance intolerance business, that you don't impose your beliefs on anybody, because that's the meanest thing that you can do. It seems to be working a lot. And perhaps especially with that Methodist that we just talked to. It's Witness Wednesday. I'll be kidding. In the future, I'll bring an oxygen tank. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. and there's a guy sauntering. That's a saunter if ever I've seen it. Hey, young man, while you're sauntering, can I walk next to you and talk to you on the radio?
Sure thing.
Cool. How tall are you, man?
I'm 6'4".
No, because I think I'm taller than you. Now stand up straight. No slouching. You're tall. Yeah, we're about the same. What's your first name?
It's Travis.
Okay, Travis, this is what I want to ask you. Okay. All right? And you can take the time. You need to think this through. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, not so much, 10 being, a ton, how convinced are you of your religious beliefs or lack of religious beliefs? 1, not so much. 10, I really am into it.
I guess I'd give it an 8.
Wow, that's a lot. Into it.
Fairly convinced, yeah.
Fairly convinced. Okay, and what are you convinced of? What's your religious thing or lack of religious thing?
Yeah, I'm going to have to tell you that I'm not religious.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are an atheist or an agnostic?
Atheist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second, though. In order to be an atheist, let's do definitions.
Okay.
No God. Wouldn't you have to be a 10? Otherwise, anything less than a 10 would be an agnostic.
All right, well, I'm a little bit agnostic then.
Did you just backslide on me?
All right, if that's what you want to call it.
Okay, so tell me, why are you an agnostic? Better yet, let's do it this way. You ready for this?
Okay.
Travis, you're a tall guy. I like you. I want to be just like you. I want to be an agnostic too. Convince me.
I don't know, it's just something you have to feel for yourself and whatever you believe in. It's not something you have to be convinced. It's, you know, whatever you believe.
So your agnosticism is based on feelings?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Not your intellect so much?
Is there something wrong with that?
No, it's kind of surprising, though. Usually, agnostics or atheists, they tend to be empiricists, they tend to be scientific people. They tend to like to have some sort of logical way that they've concluded their thing, and it's not so feelings-based.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say intellect has a little bit to do with it, but it's... I know plenty of intellectual people that just have faith and belief in God and religion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm intrigued, Travis. So more feelings-based has led you to agnosticism. What's going on?
I don't know, to be truly religious... And have a certain religion you believe in, you would just, you know, you would feel it and you would know. Is that not the case?
If
you're a Christian, like you feel like it just feels right, and it's just something that you know.
Actually, I'd say there's three. I happen to be a Christian, so I think there's three components. One is the intellect,
okay,
and everything about it intellectually, it's satisfying.
Okay.
It also is it emotionally is compelling, and it has also addressed my will, which is another aspect, I think, of our personality, and it's dealt with that. So for me, it's kind of threefold. So based on knowledge and will and emotions, yeah, I've got feelings, but my feelings really come from knowledge. They just aren't just sort of mystical, okay, moon dust sort of feelings.
Okay. So, like, what knowledge do the feelings come from exactly? What does that mean?
Well, there's a couple of different places that it comes from. One would be everything that I see, where I can't get past their stuff. It had to come from somewhere. I just can't get past that. It doesn't come from nowhere. So there has to be something eternal. There has to be an unmoved mover. So that's part of the intellectual part of it. The Bible has a huge part for me.
Okay.
Because it makes sense of all of life's big questions, like, you know, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How am I supposed to live while I'm here? And so it satisfied all of those things. And so I would say creation in a general way, and the Bible specifically, has addressed my intellect. And from that, I have found it then to cause emotions and feelings that help me to sleep at night. So you, it sounds like, you never really had a religious feeling, therefore you've concluded agnosticism.
I wouldn't say that's like entirely the case, but for the most part.
Okay, you know what? I bet I can get an emotion out of you.
Okay.
All right, I think I can do it.
Try
right.
me.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes, I would.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna test you.
Okay.
All right. How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime?
A lot. A lot. I don't know how many.
A lot.
Probably.
Okay,
yes.
So if I told a lot of lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
I'd call you a liar.
Atta boy. All right. How many things do you think you've stolen in your life?
I imagine I have, but I'd like...
You're not like a holdup at a bank or something.
Right,
just
right.
Anything from your sister or your mom, whatever.
All right. Yeah, I've downloaded some music, I guess.
All right. So if you've stolen something, what does that make you? What name would you give that person?
Sounds like a thief.
Yes, sir. All right. A little trickier, a little bit more insightful.
All right.
Lust, thought life, what's going on in your brain, X-rated thoughts, desires for women that, well, if your religious mother knew about, it would be a little on the awkward side. How many times today do you think that
today?
You have done that?
More than I'd like to share.
All right. Okay, so by your own admission, you're a liar,
okay.
You're a thief,
right.
And an adulterer at heart.
Okay.
That does not sound like a good person to me.
It doesn't.
All right. Now, let's just say... Your conscience agrees with me, okay? I'm not doing well. I've coveted things. I wasn't a good child all the time. I was maybe gave some lip to my mom. I didn't do what I was told. And all kinds of deeds perhaps done in darkness that you wouldn't want to have the light shined on. Let's just say there's a God. And you died. And the books are open on the life of Travis. Everything. And everything you failed to do. Like thank him for air, food, education, good times. All of the sins of omission and commission. The books are open on Travis. Would he find you innocent or guilty, Travis?
Sounds guilty, man.
Now, so if you're guilty, would God send you to heaven or would he send you to hell?
I've heard that he would send me to hell.
Yeah. Because you've broken his laws.
Right.
And it would be the right thing for a holy God to do. Because if he just went, you know, Travis seems like a pretty nice fellow. I'm just going to forget about all those bad things that he did. That wouldn't be just. He would be unjust to just let a criminal go. So that would be something that he'd have to do. Right?
Okay.
Okay. I was trying to get an emotion out of you. Anything?
I got
anything.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Come on. What do you know about hell? You have to know something.
Yeah, I've heard it's a pretty bad place.
Yeah? Well, okay, what happens in hell?
Fire and pain and...
Yeah.
And damnation.
Yes, eternal, conscious, physical torment. Forever. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 21.
21. Okay, so 21 years, you're in hell, and you are not 21 years closer to getting out because it goes on forever.
Right.
Does it concern you, though?
It honestly doesn't.
At all?
No.
Really? How come?
Because I don't believe in hell. Nah.
Is there anything, though, in your conscience that says, you know, that seems right?
Hell?
Well, yeah, getting judged by God. I've done bad things.
No, it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because you think overall you're a good person?
Yeah, I like to think so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that being an overall good person is, makes doing wrong things justifiable.
But you just don't believe it.
I don't.
How come?
Maybe
this will be helpful. What sort of evidence would you need to prove that God exists? What would it take for you?
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, it's not like I'm out looking for evidence.
Would a universe be enough?
A universe?
Yeah, that he made all this stuff?
Apparently not.
Yeah, apparently
this
not.
That's my answer for that.
All right. Well, listen, dude, you got to scoop it. I got to, just one thing before I go, because it would break my heart to walk away. Should at any point in this day or in your life that your conscience starts to agree and it starts to resonate that, you know what, I have done bad things and doing nice things or pulling an A isn't going to make up for my bad. Do you know what the Bible teaches God has done so you don't have to go to hell? Do you have any idea?
About sending his son?
Yeah.
To die for us?
Yeah.
To die for our sin?
Yeah. You know that story?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Okay, it's called the gospel.
Vaguely familiar.
That Jesus, perfect God, perfect man, came to this earth to die for you on a cross, taking the full wrath of God the Father on your behalf.
Yeah.
He kept all the laws that you haven't kept. You've broken his laws, but he paid the fine for you on your behalf to demonstrate God's love for you, a sinner. And the Bible says if you'll repent, which means you got to agree with them, it's that intellectual part to you. Yep, he exists. Yep, I've broken his laws. Yep, that's what I deserve. But Jesus died and rose from the dead on my behalf. You say you're sorry and turn from your sins. Not that you suddenly become perfect, but you have a new attitude. Sins aren't small things anymore. They're terrible things, and you don't want them anymore. And you put your trust in his son. The Bible says if you do that, he'll adopt you as his child. He'll forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life. That's the good news of the gospel. And for whatever it's worth, Travis, no other religion teaches anything close to that. They all say, try to do good. Make sure that you perfect yourself somehow, and maybe you'll be rewarded. The Bible says just the opposite. You haven't done good. You failed completely, but Jesus fulfilled all righteousness on your behalf. So if you trust in him, that'll be credited to your account so that God can get all the credit for saving you, and you don't get the credit for saving yourself.
Okay.
So maybe, just maybe, if you get an emotion in there someplace, you're a gentleman. Thanks for the chat.
Okay.
And thanks for sauntering. I appreciated the pace.
No problem.
Man. See ya. Goodbye, Travis. Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.